Dave Kurt, back on the mic. It's been a while. I appreciate you guys being patient with me as I took a little hiatus there. But great to be back here filming another episode of the Sudbury Real Estate Podcast. As always, thank you to anybody that's giving me 10 or 15 minutes of your ear and your time to listen to what I have to say and my thoughts on the housing market locally. I know I've taken a few weeks off here. It just feels like the world's been a little bit busy. We were in Toronto. Tristan on our team was presenting at a conference, and I was there to support him. And I just feel like the last few weeks have kind of slipped away from me. But we're back, and really exciting, because we have just over a week from now, we're going to be doing one of my favorite things all year long. One of the things that we've done for, I think this is going to be our fourth year doing it. We've got the big Halloween hunt at Kiwi Park coming up. This year, we're getting 750 pumpkins. We're hiding them all over Kiwi Park, one per family. Remember that, guys? I don't want to see anybody getting greedy and tossing three or four pumpkins in a stroller. We want as many people to experience this fun day as possible. But hopefully, you get the kids dressed up. I'll be dressed up. Maybe you guys can get dressed up as well. There's going to be lots of different events. There's s'more making. There's a photo booth. There's a haunted story walk with my sister, who's Katie, runs such a fantastic job of that. She's done it for the last few years. She's a small little tidbit. She's featured on this podcast as well at the intro. So thank you, Katie, to all you've done to help us out. And thank you to Carrie and to the whole team over at Kiwi Park. You guys do such an amazing job. And I know I'm super excited about it. I hope to see you guys there. That's not this coming weekend, but the next. And yeah, come one, come all. Hopefully you get dressed up and enjoy the start of Halloween there. But what's happening on a local front in Sudbury? We got the municipal elections coming up. We're like, I guess it's just about over a week. It's a week from Monday that's coming. Right now, it looks like Lefebvre is running away with a mayoral race. Someone on the surface, like, I actually think he's going to be one of the best fits, and that I have so much optimism in him to really turn around Sudbury in terms of where we're at now, add some confidence and get some transparency back to the city hall. On a non-election note, we've got Premier Ford in town. There was a big expansion of Vale's Coppercliff South mine. It was super exciting. Obviously, like Sudbury's is so rich in mining, and we've got such a positive outlook in terms of the mineral environment with what Sudbury could be. And then we have to see, and we have to, I follow online, and he's at Ramaco's doing a quick little local shopping trip. I don't know if it was for the photo op or actually to pick up some hunting supplies. And someone there slashed his tire in the parking lot. I really hope it wasn't a malicious attack. Maybe it was just a big pothole that Sudbury's kind of famous for. But like, it's frustrating. And whether you like the guy's politics or you don't like the guy's politics, if we're being malicious and trying to take things out on people, like, this is just not the right way to do it, Sudbury. We're better than this. And I hope that, you know, we as a city can show that. I'm sure Doug Ford's not listening to me, but we are very sorry as a city, Doug. That's not a representation of Sudbury. And you know, whether you believe in your politics or not, you don't deserve that at all. On a national level, we've got some outrage this week. There was a lot of discussion and talk about the $54 million of taxpayers' money that went into the ArriveCan app. And just so you guys remember that, that's the most successful app in the history of reviews ever. I know even with this podcast, I'm really big on trying to gather reviews and get testimonials and stuff like that. And there's no more reviewed app in the history of the App Store than the ArriveCan app. I think it's got something like 100,000 times the reviews that Twitter has, or so. It's something ridiculous. But whatever it is, it's always interesting to see. It came out this week, and I guess there's going to be a big report into, you know, where they spent the money, the $54 million that went into building it. Because what happened over the weekend? Well, there was a hackathon. What's a hackathon? It's computer programmers that go together and try to compete against each other to recreate a similar app or to create something from scratch. It took them 48 hours and next to no money to create a similar version of the ArriveCan app, something that we've, as taxpayers, spent $54 million on. This is at the same time that the interest on our debt, and not just the debt that you guys carry on those mortgage payments, whether they be variable or fixed or whatever that looks like, but the interest on the money and the debt that the Canadian government has borrowed since the start of the pandemic, this is where it's scary. I'll be frankly honest with you, it's scary in terms of what is happening in the future here and where this money's going to come from. I heard a projection a few months ago that the interest-only payments on the debt. So if you had a credit card and it was 20% interest and you're making those like minimum payments or whatever, the interest-only payments on the debt is going to be more than Canada currently spends on old age security. Let that sink in. That's like, it was like $58 million or whatever it was, is like, that's what's going to be responsible for just paying the interest payments on the debt that we've compiled. And the money doesn't just appear from anywhere. Like, it's going to form the parts of higher taxes in the end. Like, increased federal taxes are clearly in our near future. We've got lots of issues from a Canadian, there's issues on the municipal side, there's issues on the provincial side, and there's issues on the federal side. Yeah, there's a lot to be figured out from Canadian politics, and I think that we're nowhere near even the start of figuring this stuff out. Hopefully locally, Paul Lefebvre is going to be a good direction to get us, you know, in the right direction. But I am super concerned about provincially, especially when it comes to healthcare. My wife's a nurse at the hospital, and it's in really rough shape. Like, the nurses that were there at the start of the pandemic, they feel like they've been overworked, and that for every one nurse that leaves the field, either from because they're frustrated or because they don't like the working environment or they feel burnt out, every single person that leaves is puts more stress on the rest of the remaining nurses, and they've frozen wages and with the thought process that they can't increase the payments for these people, because what happens is there's just no money left in the budget. Some very, very difficult problems, and I see it from both sides of the coin, and it's something that I hope that we get better at and we look to be actively fixing in the future. But let's get back to the actual real estate side of things, as this is the Sudbury Real Estate Podcast, not the Sudbury Political Podcast. But on a real estate front, we saw a reverse on last week's numbers, with new listings actually doubling and sales be cut in half. So last week we had 25 sales, this week we have 22 sales. So like, sales were cut considerably. So not by half, but sales were down about 3%, so about 10%. Conditional deals went from 23 last week to 29 this week. But it was the new listings that went from 62 new listings to 42. That's a big drop. And like 62 was almost, like, looking back, maybe an anomaly, because we were in the high 40s before that. But again, the total listings available went from 244 to 225. So what are my five big takeaways from the week? Takeaway one, we've seen that activity on sales and listings die right off. Other than last week's new listings, which seems to be an anomaly, as I just mentioned, the 22 sales this week was the second lowest sales we've seen in all of 2022, only second to the first week of January. Despite the total listings are still dropping. What's the play here? What's the play? And I've given a lot of thought to that, and it's going to bring me to point number two. What appears to be happening in this marketplace is a tug of war. It's a battle between buyers who choose to sit in the sidelines as they see interest rates increase and downward pressure put on the marketplace, and are certain that there are lower prices in the near future. That on the other side of it is the sellers who are confident that rates are close to peaking and confident that the housing market has been so much strength and will quickly rebound. And by the spring market, you know, we're going to find ourselves in much better places with interest rates, and the government can't continue to increase them. This is what's playing out right now. And the sellers are saying, nope, not motivated. I'm going to pull my house off the market. And that's what we've seen with a big drop this week. It wasn't in sales. It was in expireds and canceled listings. Who's going to be right? The spring market will tell. But I do have some strong thoughts in terms of what our interest rates are going to be like in the spring. And I'll get into that in a little bit. Takeaway three, the average price point this week is creeping higher. All summer long, we trended downwards from the highs that we saw back in the, you know, January, February, March, in the first quarter of 2022. And at the end of the summer, we hit 420 for an average sale price in August. September had us boost up. We were right around 470. And like, and this week we saw an average price point of 479. Sure, it helps that when you have some bigger sales, like this week we had 1.7 million massive shack in Chelmsford sell. But nonetheless, we are still seeing our average sale price creep back upwards. One explanation could be that these larger, more executive style homes are selling finally after families maybe finished their summer holidays. They were gone. It was the first COVID-free holiday. Well, the first version of having things back open. When I say COVID-free, obviously we know that the numbers are getting worse in Sudbury and things like across Canada. I think people are just getting used to the idea of living with COVID for indefinitely, or whatever that's going to look like. But the idea that families were able to leave for the first time, like I've told you guys many times in the past, I went away with my family for 2 weeks, had an absolutely fantastic time, coming back, it was tough to get back in the groove of things, but potentially all summer long, those vacations and extended vacations were happening for families, and they took their shift off the marketplace. So with a higher price, more executive type homes selling in September and October, possibly that's why we're seeing these creep back up. But regardless, it's an interesting note that sale prices are coming back stronger. Takeaway four, timing the marketplace is one of the worst things anyone can do. And this is not just the housing marketplace, this is any marketplace. I saw a chart recently. It's one of my favorite blogs, The Daily Read. I've told you guys this many times in the past. Garth Turner, I think he's absolutely fantastic. I think he's one of the best people. He's the epitome of a content creator. He's done his free blog. You know, he does it about 300 days of the year. Absolutely amazing. I've got so much value over from the last decade plus from that I've been reading it. But I saw a chart recently that showed returns in the marketplace for people who missed the best days in the market and what they look like if you miss out on the market for those few days. It's insane to see what the returns are when we try to time the marketplace. So the people that stayed invested with a $10,000 investment from 1979 to present, if they stayed invested, that investment and carry it, drift it forward, is worth over $1 million. If they missed the five best days, they take that $1 million return and bring it back down to 675. If they miss 10, it goes to 471. 20 best days with 273, and this continues to the 60 days. If they miss 60 days from 1970 to today, which is next to nothing, I think it's 3.96% of the days. The return is 3.96% annually, worth $51,000. And the other interesting note when he posted this chart is he said the best days are like 90% of the time fall within 1 week of the worst days. It's the worst days that make us pull our money out and say, no, I don't trust it. I've got fear. I don't believe in what's happening. I need to stay on cash. I need to sit on the sidelines. And housing's not a commodity. It shouldn't be a commodity. We've turned it into a commodity. And I think that the people that look at it as a commodity could be in trouble. Like I know myself, I invest in real estate, so potentially I'm commoditizing it myself. But I really try to focus on a low debt to a debt service level. Like I don't like the idea of having any of my properties at 80% loan to value. If I've done it before, you know, to borrow money to put in other projects, but I'm making sure that I have other properties that are very low debt service level, so that if the worst case scenario happens, then I'm able to weather some storms. If people are in the marketplace, if people are trying to look at housing as a commodity and trying to time things, it's probably bad news to get out of the marketplace when you're looking at things like this. Now, this is tied with the thought that I think that house prices are going to be continued to put pressure down. I've talked about it before, how when the bank, we know for a fact now that there was an inverse relationship between interest rates and housing prices. Low, cheap money means higher priced houses because people are buying on payments and not on prices. So, and I think that we will see higher payments in the near future. And I also think that we're in this new world, that we're in a normalized rate environment between 5 and 6%. I believe those things very strongly moving forward. This is not financial advice for anybody there. I know we've had some people complain about us in the past and try to take us to the SEC or whatever. So again, not financial advice at all. This just my thoughts on the marketplace. But if you are trying to look at real estate and look at it from a longer point of thing, looking at it from, you know, say like a 20-year horizon, probably selling and trying to time the marketplace and trying to pick the next marketplace that's going to be hot is probably a bad idea. Having it, trying to cash flow, trying to manage it, taking care of your investment is probably the better idea here. So it's part of me really believes in it, and then part of me struggles with it, because it would be great if housing wasn't commoditized and we didn't look at these things as pure investment vehicles. Like it would be amazing if we looked at real estate as a roof over your head, and that's not what it's become in this marketplace. It's become a way to cash flow. It's become a speculative asset. It's become something to try to do so that we can, be in a better position in the future. And I don't knock anybody for the side hustle. Again, I've been investing in real estate for, you know, over 15 years kind of thing. But if you look at it pure speculation realize the risks that are coming with it. I think that's the best thing I can say. And if you're using home equity line of credits to leverage yourself and to go buy, buy pre-construction condos or something like that, like, you are probably in a bad spot. Again, not financial advice, but like, just be cautious. Long-winded explanation there, guys. But takeaway five is always, where does the market go from here? And this kind of ties into the point that I just chatted about, but this increase in average price has me a bit stumped. I understand that there are more higher-end houses selling now than what was happening in the summer. And it makes sense that the families may be on holidays that went back to work and now are, you know, ended up buying after the holidays were over. But if the increase is tied to low inventory, because we are seeing inventory trend down, and we just had a chat in our office today that inventory is at an all-time, like, it's pulling back, and that's what's causing the marketplace to be so active. This week we're at 225, last week we're at 244. I think that this is a temporary blip. If the sellers that are banking on a quick turnaround in interest rates, and they're thinking that by next spring market, the marketplace is going to be better, the interest rates will be pulled back, and there's going to be more of a buyer frenzy, I think, like, again, not financial advice, but I think you're sadly mistaken. We are in the new normal for interest rates. And potentially there will be a small pullback on rates, and I think that that will ultimately happen eventually. But we're going to see 5 to 6% levels for the next long while. Buyers are buying on payments and not on purchase prices. And I think that this will show us a pullback in prices towards the low 400s that we were seeing play out all over the summer months. And I think that's going to continue to happen as we go into 2023. I think that when we hit that point of rates flatlining is when we will see increased confidence back into the housing market. And we live in a culture that's obsessed with real estate. Whether it's reality TV shows, people checking realtor.ca more than they're checking, you know, all their kids. People cannot get enough of real estate. And I do think that this is going to have us rebound in the market sooner than later. But I do caution people that are jumping in the market thinking that we're going to see, we're close to the bottom of house prices are, and looking at houses as speculative assets. That's a place that I say be very, very cautious. Well, Sudbury, that's my big bold predictions for the week. Thanks for staying with me for the last 15 minutes or so. I always appreciate having your ear. If you've listened to me for 17 minutes, I'm at. If you've listened to me this long, please like, comment, rate, review the podcast, share it with a friend or a family member. The more people that I'm able to get the word out about the Sudbury real estate market, the better for making the most educated buyers and sellers out there. Until next week, Sudbury, see you later.